Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's always good to be here. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. I was sitting in my seat a minute ago meditating on that song when you started to sing it, and I said, wow, that works. The Lord began to work in Karen and I 28 years ago. At that time, this fellowship began to mentor us along our journey. And here we are today to bring a word of encouragement and share a testimony with you. It's always good to be here. Never take this opportunity lightly. When I was began to think about this day on the calendar, and coming down here a few weeks ago, the first thing I thought about was joy. And not you, Joy. And I said, well, that was easy. I guess we'll talk about joy. Taking an opportunity to examine the source of our joy, the things that can hinder our joy and rob us of our joy. I've spent some time in study, prayer, meditation, and preparation, and I'd like to share some of my discoveries with you this morning. I spent some time in the book of Philippians this week. Philippians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people of Philippi, where he had established a church at. The book could easily be subtitled, Be Joyful. In it, Paul shares the things that bring him joy, and he encourages the believers to lay hold of the joy that's available to all of us in Jesus Christ. Paul was a most unlikely ambassador of Christ. Raised up in the Jewish traditions, he described himself as a Pharisee's Pharisee, a legalist to the nth degree. He spent his time despising, harassing, jailing, and supporting the execution of people that believed that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus revealed himself to Paul one day in a very powerful way, and that encounter changed the purpose and direction of his life in a very big way. Thank God. When Paul wrote his letter, ironically, he was imprisoned in Rome, not for persecuting Christians, but for professing and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. He endured a lot of hardship on behalf of trying to share with others what had been given freely to him. Despite all of his own hardship, he said that it brings him great joy every time he thinks about them and the work that God is doing in them. His joy is not because of the fact that he established a church in Philippi or that he led a lot of people to Christ. His joy is found in knowing that they were saved, and because of that, he knew what they were going to be able to experience in Christ then and forever. It wasn't about him, it was about the idea that God revealed himself to others through him. Praise God, isn't that what he's still doing today? There are a lot of different types of joy. All of them are directly connected to or greatly enhanced by our salvation. From the deep, quiet, satisfying, quiet joys to the superficial and silly joys that we experience day to day. Having purpose brings joy. Serving others, counseling, coaching, mentoring. I have a brother of mine that has been coaching youth athletics for over 40 years. And I've witnessed the joy that it brings him. I've seen it for a long time. I try to wrap my mind around the idea of just how many young lives he has had a very real impact on. It's mind-boggling. And all of that brings me a type of joy that I can't really define. I get to experience this because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Karen and I support and counsel some young couples. Actually, at this point in our life, all couples are considered young couples, right? Whether we are mentoring them or supporting them in a time of crisis, the idea that we get to serve others in such a personal and intimate way is humbling and brings us real joy. Praise God. Watching others prosper, the accomplishments of our children, there's lots of joy available in Jesus Christ. Joy spreads, encourages, and joy heals. Watching our granddaughters develop has been one of the most intense joys of my life. Our oldest granddaughter, Lauren, plays the viola. She's been doing it for a long time, and she's good at it. And when I watch her play, I'm moved. I see what music does for her. I see the doors that it's opening up to her future. Her joy is my joy. Grateful for that. And a lot more that I get to experience with her. Our youngest granddaughter is always a constant source of joy for us. Her name's Winter. One day we're sitting around the table counting our blessings, each person recounting what they're grateful for. And when it was Winter's turn, she declared with great joy, "I'm glad that God made me pretty." We all laughed at her innocent vanity, and I looked at her and I thought, well, how beautiful is that? In the world that Winter was growing up in, someone told her that she's pretty. And although she didn't really understand what that meant, she knew that being pretty was a good thing, and she knew that God made it happen. I get to witness all of that day to day. The eyes that we have been given in Christ allow us to look at the world in a quite remarkable way today. While I was in the book of Philippians, I spent some time looking at one of my favorite verses, Philippians 2:13. It is God who works. Maybe I better read it. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His purpose. The desire I have to seek, serve, and worship God isn't mine. I didn't create it. It was a gift. That's humbling and beautiful. I'm grateful for it because this brings me great comfort. And I need that type of comfort in reality in times when life gets tough and joy is not necessarily on the top of my list. Times of uncertainty, failing health, addiction, divorce, death. What about joy then? The book of James tells us to count it all joy when we face different trials. Not joy because of the trial, but joy in spite of the trial. Knowing, I know, that on the other side of every trial lies an opportunity for lessons and blessings for those that are looking. While I was spending some time reflecting this week, I remembered a time a few years ago when I found myself in despair. I was at my wit's end. Life was in session. I felt like I was getting bombarded from too many angles. Overwhelmed. I sat down and I cried out to God. I can't do this, Lord. I can't do this. I'm done. I'm tired. I quit. And I wept. And then by the grace of God, I got up and did the next indicated thing. Just like I have seen demonstrated in this fellowship time and time again throughout the years. Thank you for your witness and demonstration to Karen and I. In time, I was able to lay hold of the lessons and rejoice in the blessings, knowing that in my darkest hour, He was there. He is there, and He's always going to be there. Praise God. That's what I call after-the-fact joy. It's easy to see God's purpose and rejoice in His wisdom after the fact, right? I'm not at a point in my life where I can necessarily find joy right in the middle of life's tough challenges. But I've had a lot of opportunities to be grateful for and rejoice in what God does and reveals after the fact. God doesn't always calm the storms in my life or in your life. However, He always gives us the strength to endure the storm. He gives us direction to navigate through it. What about the things that threaten our joy? Like being late, or somebody else being late, or being lost. That one's personal for Karen and I. Lying awake at night, anxious about pending events. Fearful of some of the choices that our children are making. A bad neighbor, a broken car, finances, employment. One thing I noticed about all these things as I was reflecting on it, the things that can cover my joy with fear and frustration, is that I don't have any control over them. I can't control the weather either, but I can prepare for it, and I can dress appropriately. My faith, the support of this fellowship, has helped prepare me for life's storms, and my wife always dresses me appropriately. There are plenty of things that can threaten our joy, but no one and nothing can take our joy. However, I can give it away by the things I'm doing and by the things I'm not doing. Paul says in one of his letters to the Corinthians that bad company corrupts good character. The things that I'm doing, what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with plays a role in whether or not I get to gain and maintain control or whether I'm letting it fade away. Joy can also fade because of the things I'm not doing. Prayer, study, fellowship, worship. Without these aspects of my faith being exercised regularly, my joy is incomplete. Thank God for the body of Christ and the support of it. Amen. Wednesday, our grandkids were over at the house. They often come on Wednesdays. I'll share a couple quick stories with you, and I'll give you another praise report update of some things that are happening with Karen and I. Sometimes the kids stay for a couple days. They bring their cat with them. The cat comes with a lot of paraphernalia. A cage and a box and toys and food. So a day or so into their visit, Karen tells Winter, "Hey, you know you need to think about cleaning out that cat box, right?" Winter says, "Yeah, Grandy," and she scurries off. And I happen to walk by a minute or two later, and I look over and I see Winter. She's cleaning out the cat box with Karen's spatula, and I thought, I think I'm going to let that go. I think I'm going to move on. I didn't say anything till now. Maybe she'll forget before winter comes back. I want to share a quick story with you, too, about our daughter. And I want to encourage you to think about the things and the people in your lives that bring you these little joys and these big joys. Last week, I noticed my granddaughter's driving. She has a little Prius. So she drives to the Wednesday night family gathering, and I noticed that her fog light was out. And I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to fix that fog light for her. I got some mechanical skills. I can replace a light bulb, right? But today's cars are a little different, gentlemen. You got to take some things apart and some plastic off. And anyway, I wasn't laying under her car thinking, this brings me great joy. But I'll tell you what, when I was done, that calm, that peace, that joy that comes over you from being able to serve my granddaughter. And I'm glad that my granddaughter gets to live in a world where she has a Papa Ken that'll change her light bulb. And when I got up from underneath the car and the kids were getting ready to leave, she says, it was a non-event for her, and praise God for that. She said, thanks for fixing my light, Papa Ken. And they're getting ready to get in the car, and the little one says to her, hey, did you pay him? They kind of look at each other. We laugh because that's what winter does. She brings us joy and helps us laugh. I'd like to give you a quick update about some things that are happening in Karen and I's life. As you may know, we have a man sober living in Ventura. It's been there for over 5 years now. It's a residence. 12 men live there with an in-house manager. It's a recovery-based community. Karen and I are a part of that community, have been for a long time. It's done more for us than we will ever be able to do for it. I never wanted to be engaged in dropping off the toilet paper and picking up rent. I want to be engaged in the community, and that's what we do. We have recently had an opportunity to expand New Hope. We obtained a contract from the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to accept men returning home from prison and help them, support them in their reentry back into society. We got another resident who jumped through the hoops and did the paperwork, and it looks like it's all getting ready to come together. We are thrilled about the idea that we get to stand in the gap and help men in that troubled area between the prison door and getting plugged back into life. I see them fail again and again and again with the simple things like an ID. I have no idea where my birth certificate is. I never had a Social Security card. These little steps that need to be taken in order to begin to get plugged into society and become successful are the things that we're going to be able to step in the gap. Karen helps men with their resumes. We're going to continue to do that. There's also going to be an outpatient treatment component to this. We're going to support men through classes that are geared toward helping them in reentry into society, and some addiction classes as well. It's kind of unbelievable, but I believe it. And it only happens because of our faith. Glad to be able to step out in faith. And when I'm discouraged, my wife encourages me. She tells me, you know what, I never take coming here lightly. I wrestle with, I don't know if you can identify with this, but I wrestle with the idea of being unworthy and feeling inadequate to support this fellowship. In those times, through prayer and encouragement from my wife, I push through it. I've obtained the tools to be able to navigate through life because of what our faith gives me. I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.